14 before 6 o'clock, and it's speaking of first thoughts. Best 5 minutes of the day, Dr. Jason Kintz on the line from Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, well, we're kind of bracing for the snow and the cold both. You know, we got through January, and we felt like, that's not so bad. Come on, Wisconsin. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, here you go. Boom.
Yeah, it is getting colder, and I think it's one of those we should learn as Wisconsinites that we just eventually have to brace for the stuff that's coming.
And, right.
2 years ago, it was February before it really got roiling. And so,
That's what we're looking
here
at.
We are in February.
3 to 7 inches tomorrow, and then into the deep freeze for temperatures 12 above for the high on Friday, and that'll be the warmest it gets at least until next Wednesday. So. Well, what's on my mind?
Bundle up, I guess.
What's that?
I said bundle up.
Bundle up for sure. I don't know. I was thinking this morning about James Wooten. He was a former ABC correspondent. Wrote a book called We Are All the Same, a story of a boy's courage and his battle with and a mother's love. And this little boy from Africa, he had AIDS and... And yet, as he talks about we are all the same, I also think about one of my spiritual heroes, Stuart Briscoe, who said we are all the same, too. And he kept that in mind as a preacher. When I get your, and I know I've raised this before, but I just, it's on my mind, interested to hear your thoughts on it. Briscoe said, listen, I preach the word and let the Holy Spirit take it to people where they're at. Because whether you're a believer or a seeker or wherever you're at, he said, everybody's created, everybody's fallen. Everybody is redeemable, and everybody has an eternal destiny. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good thing to remember. When we have a framework like that to be able to understand it, I think the Bible clearly gives that framework if you follow the storyline through Scripture. You know, the creation, fall, redemption, and eternal destiny. I think that captures the biblical storyline. Mm-hmm. I think so often what happens to us is we get so focused on perceived differences with one another.
Yes.
We end up not loving well because we fail to recognize others as image bearers, particularly those who make us angry.
Yeah. Yeah, and it can start off, it's just like, and it can happen, you know, in recent times it seems like it can happen in the church. Like all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we both believe in Jesus, but what? You hold that political opinion? You hold that view? Well, forget it. And it's like, whatever. You know, focus on. That's why it was helpful to me yesterday, so helpful, and I passed it on some, the idea that we start with our belovedness, everybody, you know?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think you raise a good point that this is happening in the church as well, among Christians who... you know, I've heard it said over the years that, well, that denomination can't possibly be Christian because they don't believe this, you know, whatever this is. We see that politically, that's happening. And, you know, we're kind of losing sight, I think, of the principles of the faith, right? Do I acknowledge that I can't save myself, that Christ died? Christ rose again, and he's coming again. Mm-hmm. I can't save myself. Christ saves me. And I think when we get lost in the minutia, sometimes it gets very easy to dehumanize other people and think that they are evil, as opposed to in that framework you were talking about from Stuart Briscoe.
Yeah, so hence I'll throw out another saying that I've shared numerous times, but haven't said it lately. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, freedom. And in all things, love. I mean, that's like, I need to say that every day.
Yeah. And not just to other people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
to me. No, to me.
It's so important to say it to ourselves. And
absolutely.
So I think that's true. But when we try to make everything essential, that gets to be a heavy burden to carry.
That's the truth. Thank you, friend. It goes by far too fast, but we'll talk to you as we start to see the snowflakes fall tomorrow morning.
Sounds good.
All right, good day. I don't know, just an observation from the Halverson family kitchen on some food items and our different approaches to what to do. So we had some pulled pork, I don't know, within the last week, and my wife had made the comment, a few days ago, she's like, oh, yeah, that just didn't agree with me. And she felt like it was too old and maybe should be tossed. And
gross.
I, nonetheless, had some yesterday for breakfast. It was good. Out of the usual beef and bean burrito, so okay. Looking for some other kind of meat.
Protein, and start the day.
Then, even like, I told her I'd had it. She's like, oh, how did you feel? I'm like, I felt fine. And then even this morning, got the Halvo Mocha going here, hot chocolate and coffee.
It smells very good.
In my Danny Gokey mug, the station mug.
Oh,
here.
Nice.
Danny, new song, new today, and new day. And I'm feeling fine. I had it yet again. I mean, I almost feel like I'm Carl Wallenda walking the high, you know, the tightrope. And then I've got some French onion dip with me in studio because, yes, I will call it out. My daughter, Grace, was just like, she had tossed the thing away. I'm like, why? Who threw
How much
this?
Is left?
Who? A lot.
Oh.
I said, who threw this away? She said, well, it's expired and it shouldn't be that runny.
So you rescued it from
yes.
the garbage can or pail?
I rescued it from the garbage in the kitchen.
Okay.
And I do feel like I rescued it.
I've seen that happen with dips, though, where, again, it seems runny on the top, but you just, you know, you
yes.
stir all that in and then get some chips or some carrots or what have
then
you.
Then kind of going with the pork rinds, a little dip, and there you go. So this is rescued, and it feels grateful. It feels grateful.
I'm sure it does,
yes.
too. I mean, I have seen, again, doing this whole 30 plan that I've been trying to go through, ends today, actually. But
congratulations.
And I actually feel really great. But I have not been able to clean my kids' plates like I used to because, again, my tendency as a dad, because I've mentioned before, I just can't stand food
right.
going to waste, is if they leave some chicken nuggets on their plates, if they leave some apple slices or some carrots or whatever, I would just hoover those down
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to see them thrown away. And
like
so
a vacuum.
If Nornor leaves a couple half-eaten chicken nuggets and some sticks of broccoli on her plate and doesn't eat them, Daddy's going to eat that
Daddy's
while clearing off
help.
Her plate because, sure. Sure, I don't like seeing it go to waste, and I have not been able to do that other than like the fruit items. I haven't been able to do that all throughout this month.
You're disciplined.
It's just been killing me.
Well, you can start again tomorrow.
As Unspoken says, help is on the way. So yesterday, we had the privilege of having Scott Snyder, Steve Snyder's brother, join Greg and Terry and Carol in studio during the Noon Hour. A podcast of that is available at WWIB.com under podcast. In fact, three different podcasts from the morning show, from the Drive with PA, and from Middays with Greg as well, all in the title, Remembering Steve Snyder, if you'd like to see that. And so Scott had communicated to us, and Pat played this just before noon. A favorite song of Steve's was from the group GLAAD, and called Be Ye Glad. So in case you missed that, wanted to bring it back for you this morning.
In these days of confused situations, in these nights of restless when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse, from the grave of the innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the sad. Oh, your cry has been heard, has been paid up in full. Be ye glad, oh, be ye glad, oh, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad.
From your dungeon a rumor is stirring. You have heard it again and again. Ah, but this time the sulkies they're turning, and outside there are faces of friends. And though your body lay weary from wasting, your eyes show the sorrow they've had. Oh, the love that your heart is now tasting has opened the gates. Be ye glad. Oh, be ye glad. Oh, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. So be like lights on the rim of the water, giving hope in a storm sea of night. Be a refuge amidst the slaughter of these fugitives in their flight. For you are timeless and part of their puzzle. You are winsome and young as a lad. And there is no disease or no struggle you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad.
Yes, that's glad. A group of men, I believe from New Jersey, Halvo, with
Great.
Be Ye Glad. And you came in, you were like, that's such a Steve Snyder song. And yes, it is. As his brother Scott shared with us yesterday, one of Steve's favorites. And I couldn't help but listen to that again as I was driving home from the game last night. I pulled it up on YouTube. I got to hear that again. And then Pat was here working late, and I was getting some things done late yesterday night as well. And I heard the same song coming from Pat's office.
Huh.
And I think that visit with Scott Snyder really affected all of us in a beautiful way. Yesterday, and just thinking about that song, oh, be glad, every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. Remembering Steve Snyder in so many ways this week, and that song, which is new to me, but
the group Glad, too, I think is who that was, right?
And I loved Glad back
so
in the day
good.
And just hadn't heard that song before, but that was one of my first introductions to Christian a cappella. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Go Fish. And so, yeah, that was instrumental when I was younger as well. So this has started to become a Wednesday morning tradition on the Wib Wake Up Show. A little break for humor as we learn to laugh at ourselves a little bit and some of the things that maybe annoy us. And so we've asked you, we've done this throughout the years, but kind of bringing it back here in 2021, Halvo, what's a pet peeve? What's a pet peeve of yours? And then we put it to song so we can look at it in a little bit more humorous fashion. And this week, we're going back into the archives a little bit, and this is our friend Logger Mike, I believe, from the Rice Lake area.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike had told us, and I don't remember, Mike, when this was, but I think 2-3 years ago, something like that, maybe even longer, had mentioned that people give you a lot of grief about being a logger, and a lot of those people, again, have very specific agendas in regards to the environment, and they give you a hard time about your profession. You said, that's my pet peeve. Could you write a song about that? You bet we can. Mikey is a logger and it really gets his goat when people shove their tree-hugging agenda down his throat. So when your Prius strands you in 2 inches of snow, he'll tell you walking's greener, it's the only way to go. But wait, there's more.
Between your endless tweeting, it warms the heart to see that you still make time for bumper sticker advocacy. You say you don't like logging, but people, let's get real. Try using Plastic Charmin and tell me how that feels.
Tell me how that feels.
That was very good. That was very good.
For Logger Mike from the Rice Lake area, again.
No thanks to the Plastic Charmin. Ouch.
Just having some fun. And again, looking at our pet peeves in a little bit of a humorous fashion. If you have one, get it to us on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page or 396-1670. You just might hear it in song.
Hey, happy Tater Tot Day to everybody. Tater Tots invented in 1953 when Orida came up with a way to make use of leftover slivers of cut up potatoes.
I love it. Necessity, the mother of invention.
Yes. Well, Caleb, it may sound like something out of a futuristic science fiction film, but scientists have managed to engineer, get this now, spinach plants, which are capable of sending emails.
How is this real?
How is it possible? Through nanotechnology, engineers at MIT have transformed spinach into sensors capable of detecting explosive materials. These plants are then able to wirelessly relay this information back to the scientists. Popeye? Oh, what he did for spinach.
Was Popeye just propaganda from Big Spinach?
It sure sounds
back in the day.
Like, why couldn't they have tried to do that, like the Cookie Monster switching away from cookies? People not buying it, right?
No,
when when the spinach roots detect the presence of nitro aromatics in groundwater, and again, I talk constantly about nitro aromatics.
You do.
You can attest to that. But it's a compound found in explosives like landmines. The carbon nanotubes within the plant they emit a signal. This signal is then read by an infrared camera, sending an email alert to the scientists.
Usually, and I've experienced this, I have had signals from spinach before. You open the bag and it's like, don't. Just don't.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Oh. We like to, the salad eaters in our house like to mix the spinach with the romaine
more palatable.
Lettuce, right? Yeah,
it's
and
so
when
healthy.
You get out of the romaine, they're like, oh, we just have the spinach left.
Oh. My wife puts it in smoothies, too, so then I don't know what I'm consuming.
While the purpose of the experiment was to detect explosives, scientists believe it could be used to help warn researchers about pollution and other environmental conditions.
Five.
Well, nobody fights human trafficking like Fierce Freedom, and they're right here in the Chippewa Valley in Altoona, and we've got two of their finest with us, Kat Jacoby and John Pulley. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys. And some big doings. Big doings going on here as far as the winter. I guess we start off, what is this about an ice fishing event, I hear?
Well, you know, John just loves ice fishing, and that's why he moved here from the south, actually.
Right. So there wasn't a lot of ice fishing in Arkansas, huh?
Well, no. And, you know, my Arkansas education has helped me to understand that, you know, one thing I do know is that fire melts ice. So I'm not understanding fires on the ice with
so
people.
So John's not heading up the ice fishing event.
No.
So it's called Fishing for Freedom on Lake Altoona, raising money for Fierce Freedom. So tell us about it.
Coming up February 20th. So Leadership Eau Claire is generously partnering with us in hosting and planning this event. And so we have some really great prizes. So I guess tickets pre-event registration are 25, day of 35. And so you'll be entered into the fishing competition. And so we have some really great prizes. I think the grand prize is a new ice auger.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an ice shack that's up, you know, so we've been really working and Leadership Eau Claire has been working to get some really great prizes for people. But it should be a really fun time. Fierce Freedom will also have merch there. And we also have kind of an educational, I don't really know what to call it, but it's going to be something to explain how trafficking can happen right there on the ice that you can kind of go take a look. So,
will John be staying on the ice all day?
That would be a no. That would be a no.
And it's from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. We should say that, too.
Yeah, I think one of the great things with Fierce Freedom, though, I mean, Leadership Eau Claire, I mean, it's such a bipartisan support for fighting human trafficking like a no-brainer. Everybody, that's got to be nice, right? To be in a cause that's right. Not like, oh, this party's mm-hmm. with us. I mean, everybody is.
Oh, well, that's the great part is, you know, it's a human rights issue. It's not a political issue. And, you know, Leadership Eau Claire, they really fought to get on board to be able to help us to do this, to plan this. So we're really grateful for them and the work they've done.
What are the needs you guys have going into this event? Just on-site participation? Are there any volunteer needs, financing needs for people who can't come? What do you guys need to make this a success?
Sponsorships are, of course, you want to do a sponsorship, you can contact us at fiercefreedom.org or call the office. The other thing that we have is we have a need for, we're doing a raffle, so people can have, if you've got raffle prizes that you want to donate, that you've got, I don't know what fishermen like, but if you've got things fishermen like, donate those. And you can, again, contact us at Fierce Freedom or drop them by the office.
A bulk supply of those hand warmers.
that's mine. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I remember being at the Night of Freedom last year at Florian Gardens. And so that was just as the pandemic was going to get off. And
I know. We squeezed it right in there. We planned it out really well, you know.
So now you've waited for that to all happen. And so now you're having one again, right? Yeah, so how's it going to play out?
Yeah. So we're having the Night of Freedom and Hope again. You know, that's been going on for several years now. But this year, we're going to have it a virtual option as well. So people can kind of still be comfortable with that. But it's going to be Friday, March 5th, 6 p.m. at River Prairie Center. So tickets are $40. And then virtual tickets will be $20. So you don't get to eat, but you can always just snack in your jammies. And so basically, it's a night. Yeah. So it's a night where we celebrate where, you know, what we've done for the past year. And honestly, what God has done and where he's how we've been able to just see him at work and how he's provided. I mean, we've stayed afloat. We've been doing really we've been able to reach more people, I think, last year than the years before. Like, we reached 9,000 people this last year in spite of the pandemic.
Was it tough getting a keynote speaker for this year? Because last year, I reached the top with John Pulley. And so there was no matching that this year. So what?
We tried. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we actually just brought on survivor advocate Amanda Casey, who's amazing.
Oh, so yeah.
She will be sharing a little bit of her story, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about
Yeah, no, that sounds really good.
Well, Kat and John, great to have you guys back in studio with us here at WWIB again, advocating for human trafficking, not only educating the public, but also, like you just mentioned, with those who are survivors as well, to standing alongside with them so that they are not forgotten or in the margins. And where can people find out more, again, if they're like, hey, I just joined, just caught a little bit of it, how do they best keep in touch with Fierce Freedom?
I would just go to our Facebook page or Instagram or visit us at fiercefreedom.org. For more information on the Fishing for Freedom event, we have an event page set up, but you can get tickets through Volume 1. And then for the Night of Freedom and Hope, that is going to be, I believe, available by Friday. So that's what Matt and Susie Kinsera are really in charge of that, and they're going to make it super fun this year. I know that we're going to be, so part of the raffle, too, is going to be on experiences. So we're trying to get, so if you do have, like, an experience, like, let's say you have a cabin up north, and you're like, well, I could donate a weekend for somebody to bid on, that would be great if you would want to reach out to us. So again, you can reach out by visiting fiercefreedom.org.
I just think a great experience is going to be seeing how bundled up John is on the day of this ice
don't
fishing.
You
He's going to look like
that?
The Michelin man.
Layers, my
Worth
friend.
The price
layers.
Of the mission right Lots there. Of layers. The southerner trying not to freeze.
Always great to have you guys. Fierce you Freedom. Guys. They are local right here in Altoona and doing great, great work in the Chippewa Valley and beyond.